Welcome back to another edition of the Rewind That Tape podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cash.
And I'm Jay Probs.
And it was quite an eventful June 7th in the sports world, ranging from soccer to, of course, the NBA Finals Game 3 being played tonight. We're going to go ahead and start off with that. I mean, there's a lot of news today, like I said, but we're going to focus on the most recent thing that occurred in that was this Game 3 that took place down in South Beach with the Nuggets coming up with a 15-point win to go up 2-1 against Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. Probs, what are your initial takeaways from tonight's game?
I just want to say that the defense played good. I mean, Denver played really good defense. You look at that, and then Jokic, first 30-20 triple double, 30 points, 20 rebounds, which is kind of insane. But I think just overall as a team, they played well. I don't know. I just think that Denver, they got good production from Jokic. They got good production from Murray, and then the defense locked in. I mean, every time you limit a team below 100 points, it means you played good defense, and Miami to 94 points, it was good defense. They played good defense, and that's what they need. And that's what they need to win the series. They need good defense, and they just need to let Jokic and Murray ball. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, they both had 30-point triple-doubles, which is just insane. Obviously, Joker with that 20 boards, it's normal for him, but I think we're taking those performances for granted. It was, an offensive masterclass from the Nuggets today. They put their faith in the stars. It's actually interesting, kind of contrary to what we talked about after their game one win, where we talk about them being so balanced is what kind of helps them win. But tonight they showed that even when other guys don't step up. Obviously, credit to Christian Braun. I mean, he had a hell of a game, having 15 points on 7 of 8 shooting. But, I mean, like, other than that, the starters didn't play super well offensively. But then again, like you said, that Denver team is known for their defense. And they held the Heat to 94 today.
Yeah, when you hold a team to 94, I mean, it's fine if Michael Porter Jr. has 2 points and Bruce Brown has 5 points. And I mean, even Reggie Jackson had a few minutes. I think you have to give credit to Christian Braun. I think he had some good plays. That little fast transition, that transition layup on Jimmy Butler was tough, man. I think that stretch with Brown in the third quarter really changed the flow of the game. That explosion, Jamal Murray, he had a few timely threes. Jokic, you know, just being Jokic, always there with those nice little floaters. And they were still able to lock down Miami. That third quarter, and I mean, going into the fourth quarter too, they just had the momentum and they rode it. And they really closed Miami out. I mean, it looked like they might come back a little bit in that last minute and a half. But yeah, they closed it out for good. And I think that was a really solid performance, and that was the kind of second half that they needed in game two.
Right, because, I mean, when you look at it, they were heading into Miami, you know, they just let up a tough one at home, and Miami's always a tough place to play in the playoffs, and they kind of just took control of that game. Like you said, start of the second half is when Denver was able to take over, but I think Miami, obviously, this whole entire playoffs, they've been able to bounce back from losses, make necessary adjustments. So what adjustments do you think, knowing what this Denver team is capable of, should Miami make for the second time now going down?
Yeah, I think Miami just – I don't know. Bam, I feel like he had a few plays that – a few mid-range shots that I feel like he could have been a little bit more aggressive. You know, there are a few times when he had someone like Bruce Brown, like Christian Braun on him, and he didn't attack them. He settled for the mid-range, and that's something that it's been going in for him lately, but I think he still needs to be aggressive. And then also the role players. I mean, Max Strus had 3 points. Gabe Vincent had 7 points.
Right.
Robinson had 9. Caleb Martin had 10. You only have 3 players over double digits, and Caleb Martin is that with 10. You need more from the role players. That's it.
Yeah, and
you can't be playing 32. I mean, Gabe Vincent can't be 1 of 6 from 3. Max Strus can't be 1 of 4. It's like they need more production from those guys.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I know he said, like, he didn't want to disrupt any rotation flow that the Heat have right now, but I think it's time for Tyler Hero to come back, especially if they don't win in Game 4. But, I mean, I think Game 4, you know, you're at home. Particularly, their role players haven't had the strongest performances so far in the finals. Mm-hmm. It's time for Tyler Hero to come back, even if it's off the bench with limited minutes, just because he can create his own shot, and he's efficient. Like, I think that if you add him to this offense, just say you have a lineup with him and Caleb Martin on the floor at the same time, I think that Denver defense kind of shifts its focus. I'm not saying Tyler Hero's that all-star player, but he's still a legitimate offensive threat.
Yeah, when you have a third offensive threat like that who can consistently give you 15 points a game, teams have to respect that, and that opens more space in the middle of the court for Bam, for Jimmy to go to work, and that's what they're lacking right now. So yeah, they definitely need that. They need some. I mean, not even Harrow. If Strus can get his game back, I mean, he's been playing so bad, like just shooting the ball, and that's really hurting their spacing. But yeah, they definitely need some kind of change up, some different factor to come up.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. But, I mean, it goes to say that this is going to come down to the adjustments. And if the mm-hmm. Heat, more importantly, if Tyler Hero feels confident in making that return. But we're going to stay in Miami. We're going to switch sports, though, as the GOAT of soccer, Leo Messi, has decided that it's time for him to make a move outside of Europe, and it won't be Saudi Arabia. He's coming to Miami, coming to Major League Soccer in a groundbreaking move for the league. Well, I mean, to me, this was shocking. I thought he was going to end up returning to Barcelona. But wow, I think he realized it's time for him. He can enjoy life in Miami. And man, what an experience this is going to be for us here in America.
Yeah, I mean, it's... just looking at the contract details right now, to give you guys a lowdown, he deal included part ownership of Inter Miami, cut of the revenue of Apple TV's streaming service, the jerseys that they sell, and any Adidas product, I'm pretty sure. Some kind of sweetener deal with Adidas. But yeah, you're pushing this Inter Miami. I mean, people are talking about the club being valued at $1 billion now. I mean, it's crazy the amount of pull that he has. And I mean, you were talking about choosing Miami over Saudi. I mean, looking at the deal that he turned down from Saudi Al Hilal, it's a 3-year $1.6 billion deal that he turned down. And I mean, he said it wasn't about the money. And if you can turn down $1.6 billion, I mean, Messi, you're different, man. Like,
yeah, that was pretty shocking to me. I thought, like, I don't know, even just staying 1 year in Saudi to get, what, $500 million, $400 million, then make your move. But, I mean, he's got plenty of money right now, and mm-hmm. it'll be interesting. And, like, I think this is expected, but those ticket prices for the next Inter-Miami game was, like, $20-$25, and they're now, like, $400-$450, which is pretty insane. But again, the MLS is going to get a lot of marketing from this move. And I think this will bring a lot of viewership, and it's going to be great for the league. And hopefully it'll make it more interesting, because that Inter Miami team is last in their conference. They already sacked their manager. Overall, the team just hasn't been playing well. They've lacked a lot of like spirit in their attack. I've watched a few games, few of their highlights. But obviously, that's another plus you get with Messi. You know, he adds so much to that attack. and it's not always backed up by his goals and assists, but, you know, he'll be there. He'll be helping his teammates. And obviously it's a huge move for the team, but even bigger for the league. And financially, it's going to pay off massively, in my opinion.
Oh yeah. When you bring the GOAT to your team, I mean, it changes the output of the entire league. I mean, MLS, people are actually going to start watching it because people want to watch Messi. That's at the end of the day, people from not just America are going to want to tune in because they want to watch Messi. And that viewership, that kind of pull, no other player except for probably Ronaldo. And I mean, I don't really see anyone watching Saudi League, but since it's so available in the MLS, I think it's this move just has MLS to the top. Like, it's just going to blow up. I think this move is massive for the MLS and for Messi as well, because he's investing stake in the MLS and MLS teams. So it's, yeah, if MLS blows up, then he'll probably blow up too, because he's most likely, I heard he was going to have possibility to own a team, similar to David Beckham did with Inter Miami. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if he blows up, if the league blows up, then he's just padding his own pockets.
Yeah, I know. And it's a very lucrative deal he got with Miami. But, I mean, that interview he had was really interesting. Talked about how Barcelona was the only European club he was interested in going to, but mm-hmm. he didn't really want them to have to release players, transfer them just for Messi to come in, which is very like brave of him to say, you know, knowing that what he could bring again to this Barcelona team. But also, I felt something that was interesting was his quote about his experience in Paris with PSG. I mean, obviously 2 years there, made it to the round of 16 in the Champions League, but didn't get out of it, won the Liga twice. But that was like the worst I've seen him talk about a team, club. But what were your thoughts on it? Because obviously that last year, it started off well. You know, they were a team looking to contend for the Champions League, and the World Cup happens, and it all kind of goes down.
Yeah, I think it wasn't the kind of environment he wanted to be in. It wasn't that let Neymar, let Mbappe take the reins, choose your moments kind of thing. He was getting booed off the field. I mean, it just wasn't looking good.
Those fans were harsh.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that kind of put a bad taste in his mouth. And it just, I mean, them getting knocked out around the 16, it was a bitter ending. And I think it's because he wanted somewhere where he could relax. But PSG, in order for them to be successful, they needed Messi, Ney, and Mbappe giving like that. They need that front three pressing and kind of dropping back in defense. They can't just be walking around the field. And that's something Messi is probably going to do in Inter Miami. And they're going to let him. And that's what he wants to do. So he couldn't do that at PSG. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see how this Inter Miami thing plays out. Because, like I said, the worst team in the MLS right now. You know, all the teams kind of control games, but Messi's impact obviously will be immense. But it's just we're gonna have to see, because I don't know how long it's gonna be till we see him debut. It could be a month, could be 2 weeks, could be 2 months. We don't know. But what we do know, switching it up here, is that Jacob DeGrom, the big time signing for the Texas Rangers, who have the second best record in Major League Baseball, has suffered yet another injury. This time, it's season ending. It's Tommy John. It's frustrating. It's sad for me as a Rangers fan. But, man, I don't know. He just can't catch a break. Like, when he's at the top of his game, when he's healthy, he's the best pitcher in the league. Mm-hmm. But he just can't seem to stay healthy. If we bring in this big guy, this big move, and I don't know, it's just disappointing to see him go through yet another injury here.
Yeah, I mean, especially when the Rangers are playing so well, when they're on their hot streak, they're at the top of the AL West. He was supposed to be their ace, in the sleeve. You know, they pull him out. They have this great player that they can pull out for the end of the season, playoffs, he could really be a game changer. And that just, you know, it sucks if you're a Rangers fan because everything's looking up. He's supposed to come back in a little bit, but yeah, Tommy John surgery, that sucks. And I mean, if you look at his history, I mean, just looking at this list right here, it's from 2010 he had injury, 2016 he was out, 2017 to 2019, and then just 2020, 2021, 2022. It's just forearm tightness, back-to-back minor arm injury, stress reaction, all this stuff that's just compounding. And it's like, he's such a talent, and yet he can't get on the field. And it's like, it's sad. It's like D. Rose. I mean, that's only kind of similarity I could pull to it. D. Rose, I mean,
right.
You have such talent, and yet you can't get on the field. You're not healthy, and it's just, yeah, it sucks. Because this is an opportunity when you're like this Rangers team with DeGrom at the helm, him being their ace. I mean, they could legitimately go far.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just kind of, for me, the first thing I thought of is like, what did the Rangers staff think when he had that initial physical with them before signing? Because mm-hmm. he had that injury history with the Mets. He signs for the Rangers here in the summer, April 2023, after like, I think his second or third game pitching. They place him on the 15-day injury list with that elbow inflammation. And then right after putting him on the 60-day injury list, they say he's going to miss the rest of the season. But, yeah, it's just awkward and for fans, I feel like, just because they know that history that he has with injuries. And it came up so quickly, kind of behind the scenes. He's a great pitcher, but, man, I just hope he's back for next season because – with him, I think this Rangers team can take it to the next level. Obviously, they're in a tough division with the Angels and obviously the Astros, who have been there for years and will be there for years to come. It's just going to be the Rangers. That's the risk you get when you sign him. And now, right now, they've been fine without him. I think like 25-9 without DeGrom. I think they'll make the postseason. I just don't know. Like when you miss a guy like DeGrom, having that sort of elite pitcher in a series consistently, is it's not going to be there for them. But I feel like even with any playoff experience for this young team would be helpful.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's just getting playoff experience, like you said, and seeing, I mean, at this point, all you're hoping for is if he can get back next year. And if he can get back healthy, that's what you're hoping for. And you're just trying to get as far as you can as a Rangers fan. Just knowing next year, you're like, we'll have DeGrom
next
back.
Next year is that year. Yeah.
Hopefully he's healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait. But, I mean, this year it's just we're going to have to ride the wave without him. And so far it's been really good. But other than that, I mean, a great day here in sports. We'll be back tomorrow. Yep. Going to recap Stanley Cup Game 3 along with any other breaking news that comes up. What a day, though, in sports. We'll see y'all on the next one. Make sure to follow us on all socials. Got Instagram, got Twitter. Hit us up, DMs, have any suggestions. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Peace.